29th of May, 1976, Gerda and I are interviewing in the Junction City, Oregon area. What is your name, sir?
Jerry Rasmussen. Full name, Gerald Rasmussen.
Any middle name?
No, my parents thought they gave me one, and when I enlisted in the Navy in World War II, I discovered that it wasn't on my birth certificate. Since I never had liked it anyway, from that day and on, I've never had one.
You were not an immigrant, but you were born in Junction City area.
Yes, I was born in Eugene, because that's where the hospital is. My mother was also born in Junction City, literally. My mother's name was Helga. My father, Hans Rasmussen, was born in Colorado in a Danish ethnic community in Colorado called Brush, and moved to Oregon when he was about 13 years old.
What was your mother's maiden name?
Her maiden name was Bodker, spelled B-O-D-T-K-E-R. It's a name that comes out of the province of Slesvig, and it could just as well be a German name if spelled slightly differently than Danish. It means barrel maker, or as in English, the word cooper. Since my mother was born and raised in this community and my father came here at a very young age, I'm really a fairly old generation Oregonian, even though the environment I grew up in was also very Danish.
What generation American are you?
All four of my grandparents were born in Denmark, with the exception of a grandmother who was born in the Faroe Islands, which is part of Denmark. And they all four emigrated to the United States, emigrating to Junction City rather characteristically as a second move, the first move into the Middle West and then a second move out to the West Coast.
Would you give me the names of the grandparents?
Yes, my paternal grandparents are Ole and Meta, right? Meta, M-E-T-A. And my maternal grandparents are Peter and Maria Bodker.
Where did the ones come from who were born in or on the Danish peninsula or islands?
Mm-hmm. My Faroese grandmother, whose name was, who married Peter Bodker, married him, and he was from the southern part of Jutland. His father, again, was actually a displaced person who had moved into Denmark from the province of Slesvig after the Danes lost their Prussian War in 1864. And he and I believe two, maybe three of his brothers emigrated to this country. I know one died young, and I think one perhaps only stayed here a short time and went back to Denmark. My father's parents were both from the island of Sjælland, in a small community outside the city of Roskilde.
Do you know the name of that city?
Yes. One from Tune, T-U-N-E, and the other from Vindinga, V-I-N-D-I-N-G-E.
Do you know why your grandparents came to the United States?
Well, I think so. Incidentally, I should add here that when I teach in the field of history, and so I have to recognize that documentary evidence and family lore might be two different things. But I think that the family tradition has it that in my paternal grandparents' case, the Rasmussen family, they came in part because the marriage that was pending between the two was unsuitable to both sides of the family. One was a craftsman family. What do you call them? Bricklayers. Yeah, masons. And the other was an old peasant. And I've never been quite sure which one thought the other was marrying beneath, but in any case, it was an unsuitable marriage in the families. And my grandfather, Ole Rasmussen, immigrated over to a cousin of his who lived in Mississippi, of all places. And then he sent for my grandmother, and they were married there, moved to Colorado, and then out to here.
What?
The other side. My mother's mother came from a family where the father had died when the whole family was very young, and I have to assume that they emigrated for the simple reason that they were too poor to stay where they were, that all the family, my grandmother, her sister, emigrated to this community eventually, They had three brothers, all of whom left the Faroe Islands. One also wound up in this community. The other two became seamen all their lives.
Do you know why they left Mississippi and moved to Brush?
Have no idea. It was only recently I even discovered through conversations with my father that they had actually been married in Mississippi, and that my grandfather had gone to that community. I think I know the name of the community. I think it was Granly. In Danish, Granly. I thought it was a relative, I know, a cousin or an uncle. Yeah, but he didn't. My father says he didn't like it there, and that then he moved on out to Colorado. He worked in the mines for several years, silver mines in Colorado, before he got enough money to buy land out in Brush, Colorado, which was a Danish community.
And do you know why he left Brush to come to Oregon?
All I know is that my grandmother, Meta Rasmussen, had two sisters already living in this community. My grandfather's an only son, and there were no relatives here as far as I know. No, I don't really know. Other than that there were indeed relatives here, and they followed them out, as was the case of my maternal grandfather, Peter Bodker, too. He came out after his older brother had come out here and settled. My Bodker grandparents met at a Danish young people's home in Chicago, and you'd have to verify this with Arnold, but it's my understanding that it was through them that Arnold Bodker's parents met, that they came there too, because on the one case the sister and the other case the brother were there, and they then met and were married. And then they, let's see, I know that that Peter Bodker farmed in Illinois for several years before he moved out here to Oregon. But I know that Hans Bodker, his brother, preceded him out here, down the road here.
I'm going to jump a little bit from your family history to your history. Would you tell me about your childhood preschool relationship with the Danish language?
Yes, let's see, where shall I start? Well, first of all, one of the things I always say when that kind of question comes up, when other people ask too, is that I was in the generation when the Danish language was used for the last time in, for example, Sunday school classes and in, for example, what we call Dane school. In those days, a few-week summer session made up of the kids in the Danish community who went to school primarily to learn Danish. We had other things, stories, gymnastics, a lot of singing, etc. But the purpose of it was really to perpetuate the language.
But did you speak Danish at home before you went to these programs?
No, I didn't speak Danish at home at all. I did know Danish, however, because of the amount of time I spent in my grandparents' home when I was a child during the Depression years, and also because of a great-grandmother who lived in Junction City and who spoke no English at all. And I somehow carried on a conversation with her. And since we know she never spoke English, it must have been in Danish.
Would you give me a characterization of your great-grandmother?
That's a tough one, a characterization. I was about, I believe, 14 when she died. I can't really do it. Well, I've got to think about that. I guess I was 13, depending on what, exactly when she died, 13 or 14. I don't have any feeling, any recall of being, of having to use the Danish language in talking to her. I felt comfortable in her home. She certainly did not pamper anyone, and she certainly did not ply one with cookies or gifts. It was a place where sometimes I visited because I wanted to, and sometimes because I felt an obligation to go by and see how she was. I'm sure there was a good relationship between the two of us, but there was certainly no special affection expressed either by touching or by words. She just wasn't that kind of a person. She was more interested, I think, in the things she was making, or the things she was reading, or the things she was thinking about.
What handicrafts do you remember that she worked with?
Well, she was she worked with I don't know what you call it, something like lace work or embroidery or something like that. Crocheting, something like that, yeah, all the time. I don't know what it was, but she certainly was always working with it. I remember that, and a little white hat and black clothes, and a tiny, tiny little house where I could probably still describe where the various bits of furniture are.
Would you give us a quick view of her house?
Very small, a front porch, a small living room. On the left side as you came in, a door into a tiny kitchen, through which you went and turned right to get to her bedroom, which was very tiny, and where I was placed once because I got a severe scald from somebody dumping hot water on my shoulder during a party over at her house. And that's probably the only time I was ever in that bedroom. I remember that another friend, a friend and I, a family by the name of Larson, well, Otto Larson's younger sister and younger brother, a younger brother who incidentally was my closest friend all through school in Junction City, we did on a very rare occasion taste the port wine that my great-grandmother had tucked away in a cupboard. But I probably remember that as happening a dozen times. It probably happened twice at most. It was such a terribly exciting day. No, she certainly didn't. She was not aware. We swiped it.
Would you recap your educational background, and would you at the same time try to give us some sort of reason why you went on to higher education?
Well, I went through all 12 years of public schools in Junction City, and I never felt a conscious decision to go on to college. I rather assumed that I would, and I think most of my close friends in high school had very much the same feeling. I suppose in part, in retrospect, because Will Larson and I were so close, and because his two older brothers and older sister automatically went on to school, that there was really never any doubt in our minds that we would too.
Do you remember any conscious effort of your parents to encourage you to go on to school?
No, not as a conscious effort. Again, I think there was an assumption, but there was really not much discussion.
Did they help you?
Since I was in the service in World War II and the recipient of what we call the GI Bill of Rights, there really wasn't much help needed.
And what advanced or what degrees do you have from college?
A bachelor's and a master's degree, both in history from the University of Oregon.
Did you ever attend any Danish folk school or high school in this country?
No, aside from what I mentioned before, where we were in the last Danish-speaking Sunday school class, and then what we call Dane school, that's odd that I forgot that. I attended Grandview College in Des Moines, Iowa for 1 year as a student, and subsequently taught there for 6 years. Isn't it odd that I hadn't related that to Danish?
Would you rather erase that?
No.
Okay.
No, it's strange.
Yeah.
Well, when I got out of the service, I went to the University of Oregon for a year, and then attended Grandview College for 1 year, together with Will Larson, who'd been there 2 years, as all of his family did, I believe.
Would you capsulate your feelings while you were at, as you remember them, while you were at Grandview?
Well, I went to Grandview not because it was a family tradition, although I do know that Arnold did Winter? Yeah, I guess my uncle Winter also went there. Well, of course he did. That's where he met Esther. I did not go as because of a family tradition. I didn't have that feeling. I went because it was a place to go, and after my freshman year at the University of Oregon with, seems like, about 2,000 other veterans without counselors, adequate teachers, without adequate dormitory space, I was just so dissatisfied with college that I wanted to go somewhere, and so I joined, basically, Will at Grandview College for a year. I don't know but what we were already talking about visiting Denmark at some point. I do know that I wanted to study Danish, because by that time, at the age of 21, 22, I had pretty well forgotten the language. I could struggle through a sentence or two, but certainly could not carry on a conversation in Danish. And so that's one reason I went there, too, was, I think, to learn some more Danish, and there aren't very many schools that teach that language.
Now, when you were at Grandview and you learned some more Danish, did it reawaken some of your childhood language? It couldn't have been very difficult for you to learn the Danish then.
No, as a matter of fact, I think it was much easier. I think it was a matter of restoring a forgotten language rather than learning a new one. So I think it came on pretty fast, but I know I didn't. I still didn't learn an awful lot of it, because when I got to Denmark, I still could not understand the radio. I recall it so distinctly because it was a great shock. I thought I knew more than I did, and I was very disappointed that I could not understand the Danish state radio. When I started understanding that, I figured I was coming along all right.
Did you go to Denmark directly from Grandview then?
Yes. Will Larson and I went together, and another student, Norval Mortensen, Reverend Enoch Mortensen's son also, who had been at Grandview that same year, decided to come over. He did it a bit later, and then we joined Will's sister and a friend of hers at Asko Folkehøjskole in Denmark, where Sigrid, my wife, had been a student the year before and was a second year student.
And you went to classes at Asko?
Yes. The only special arrangement that the school made for us was that they did ask one of their teachers to teach a Danish class for foreigners. And there were some Swiss and some German and some American. Siri, were there any others? I don't think they took that class, though. There were about 10 or so people in that special class. Otherwise, we just took the classes we wanted to take. But by that time, Will's language was Will's Danish was better than mine, because they did speak a lot of Danish in his home. So I think he had an easier time of it at the start. But I would say by Christmas time, I was having no trouble at all following the lectures and participating in the discussions. Sigrid might disagree with that. She might remember that differently.
Would you give us the approximate years that this schooling took place?
Yeah, I was at Grandview in the academic year 47-48, and at Asko in the academic year 48-49.
Would you just capsulate a little bit about what your impression of the Danish folk high school is? Now, we have it from other people, but I think mm-hmm. it's interesting to get different people's viewpoints on what the school is or means to them.
Well, what... Again, in part, there is a tradition of in our family related to the folk high school movement. My grandmother had emigrated first from the Faroe Islands to Denmark to work in the home of the forstander of Valakila Højskole, and then probably became a student there too. We don't really know for sure, but she lived there for quite a while. So, I had a feeling that Folk High School was a place where one went to study in a general sort of way, and to explore, and to find direction, and to read. So that when I went, I had some preconceptions, and I think most of them were turned out to be pretty right. My impression is of that year that the Folk High School is a place where people go who are dissatisfied with the extent of their own knowledge at a given period of time and want to increase that knowledge, and not so much to be enlightened, but to be awakened. And those are terms, as you both know, that I'm not using, but they're the words used by the founders of the Folk High School movement. I think it did that in 1948 and 49 when I was there. my purpose in going was to learn the language, to learn about Denmark, and I accomplished that, plus a good deal more, much more than I expected. In the sense of reading and discussing Danish literature, especially.
Then you returned to Grandview.
No.
To teach.
No, I.
Yeah, you did.
Well, eventually, yes. Yeah, in 1957, and I was hired to teach at Grandview, and did so for 6 years.
Would you more or less remember, if you would, some of your philosophies while teaching at Grandview?
My own?
Yes, mm-hmm. And as well as the schools.
Well,
if they differ.
Yes, yes, okay. Yes. The I felt when I was a student at Grandview that it was a Danish American school with considerable influence of the Grundtvigian theology and philosophy and educational attitude, especially the emphasis on freedom in the intellectual and academic sense. Explore anything you want, and if you want to convince somebody, use the intellectual debate in the free marketplace of ideas and not coercion to make somebody change their views or to even convert them to a particular religious doctrine. I've always admired that point of view, and I found that point of view expressed at Grandview. Even more so, incidentally, when I was a teacher there, the president of the college, Ernest Nielsen, who was from Denmark himself, I often recall using in English the Danish expressions or Grundtvigian expressions that related to freedom and not coercion and persuasion by argument and not coercion. I felt that degree of freedom very much at Grandview, and it was a period of distinct growth for me because of that. I also did not feel when I was a student there that it was going to retain its Danish ethnicity. And even more so when I returned there as a teacher, I felt it was not going to. Nor did I feel any particular dejection at that. That's inevitable. And the college, in my mind, might have become a kind of city community college had it decided to go that direction. As it is, it's too late now. There's a Des Moines area community college, and Grandview is becoming really more a church-related, more parochial school in the less Grundtvigian sense, or the more Orthodox Lutheran sense than it was when I was there before.
But with your background in the philosophy of Grundy,
mm-hmm.
Do you feel yourself handicapped when you have to face people who use coercion as a tool to convince people?
Do I feel myself handicapped?
Yes, because of your Grundtvigian background.
On the contrary, I think I can deal with that more effectively because of that background, especially combined with the traditional American concepts of free speech and free debate.
When you got through at Grandview and you had been to Denmark, then you returned here and went to school. Would you give us a little bit of an idea what where you went? I know it's mm-hmm. here in Oregon, but mm-hmm. and what degrees, and then would you go into your work today, what your
yes.
work is today?
Well, the chronological steps go like this. Sigurd and I met in Denmark at Asko Folkehøjskole, and were married in 1949. I came back in September and started school that fall at the University of Oregon. Sigurd came in December of that same year. I finished school at the University of Oregon, taught 2 years in a grade school in Redmond, Oregon, 3 years in a high school in the field of history in Albany, Oregon. In between there, I had spent 1 year as a graduate assistant at the University of Oregon. And then at the end of that 3 years high school, taught 6 years at Grandview College in Iowa, finished my thesis and got a master's degree during that period of time, then got a Fulbright grant to teach in Denmark in 63 and 4, came back to the north. And well, I was assigned actually to three different teachers' colleges and a gymnasium, and taught about, what was it, Siri, about 3, 6, 9, about 2 to 3 months in each place. And that those the teachers' colleges were Nyrönnissem up in the northern part of Jutland, and then both down in Weeba, Statsseminarium, and Espia, and then a gymnasium in Gwynstad, all in Jutland, almost along the west coast. That was 63 and 4 when I got the Fulbright. Then we came back to the northwest. I filled in at Lower Columbia College for 1 year for a history instructor who was on leave of absence. And during that year, Lane Community College was started. The community colleges got a late start in Oregon, and I was hired on to the first staff at Lane Community College, and that was 65, and I've been here ever since. Hired on as an instructor and in history before classes actually started, since I had another job offer, and I decided that the best possible world would be to teach and to have some control over your teaching environment too. I went to the college president and said that I really wanted to be department head, figuring I'd have to take the other job offer out of my pocket to show him, and he says, okay, I've already thought about it, and I'd already made that decision anyway, and taught and worked as a department head, excuse me, for two or three years, and then went into administration under the naive belief that I could also continue to teach. But after I'd been first an assistant dean, then associate dean, I discovered that I was relying more and more on canned notes and quit teaching, except I've done some team teaching fairly recently and still put in guest appearances. But otherwise, 2 years ago I became dean of instruction, and that's what I'm working at now.
We asked you earlier about your great-grandmother, and we know that your mother's mother also had an important place in your life. Would you tell us a little bit about your feelings and your relationship to her?
Yeah, that's a little easier than the other one, because I spent, as I recall it, a lot of time visiting my maternal grandparents, and I recall having a very close relationship with my grandmother. She was, you asked me a while ago, Ed, if my great-grandmother plied us with sweets or anything like that. And the answer was no. In my grandmother's case, she always had tvebaka, which I recall she always made. I always assumed she made them especially for me. I don't imagine she did. But as a youngster, as young as 4 and 5, I can recall specific instances. I can recall walking from Junction City out to my grandparents' home, and I must have spent a lot of time in their home. I had a special place where I slept, not upstairs in the big farmhouse, but in their parlor, living room on the sofa with blankets made up. And I recall